Romulus presents Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn in The African Queen. With Robert Morley as the brother, moving slowly through the towering trees and tangled vines of a dense rainforest. Based on the novel The African Queen by C.S. Forrester, adapted for the screen by James Agee and John Huston. An azure sky is just visible through the overhanging branches of the jungle's canopy of trees. Now moving downward into darker, denser foliage. Directed by John Huston. German East Africa, September 1914. A native village in a clearing in the jungle, moving over the thatched roofs towards a chapel. A sign outside the chapel reads, First Methodist Church, Kundu. The villagers are seated in the chapel, singing sluggishly, while on the stage, Brother, a large bald man, conducts them enthusiastically. The congregation watch him with bored, vacant expressions. A small naked boy runs to his father and sits on his lap. Rose, wearing a pink summer hat and an embroidered dress, sits at an organ, playing and singing with gusto. Her face is sheathed in sweat. Two children stare at a hymn book with bemused expressions. The congregation glances towards the whistling sound. A steamboat chugs along the river. On the deck, a servant takes clothes from a washing line, while another plays a small musical instrument for the entertainment of a rugged-looking man lounging on a wicker chair. The man, Allnut, removes a cigar from his mouth long enough to take a sip of a drink, then tugs a cord, blowing the whistle. The battered wooden boat cruises along the river, its name engraved on the bow, African Queen. Rose is distracted by the whistle. A trail of smoke drifts past the village as the African Queen docks at the riverbank. Allnut gets off the boat and greets the chief of the village.
Jambo, Sultani.
Jambo.
Baragani.
Missouri.
Ah, Missouri.
He gives the chief a cigar. He receives it with a broad grin. Allnut approaches the chapel, carrying a satchel in one hand and some twigs under his arm. Allnut throws his cigar onto the ground and a group of natives scrabble for it. Rose pounds her feet on the organ's pedals, and Brother raises his voice. Allnut laughs as the villagers fight over the cigar. One by one, men from the congregation run outside to join the brawl. Amen. The rest of the villagers charge outside. Rose mops her face with the back of her hand, straightens her hat, then gathers up her books. She turns to Brother, and together they stroll outside where Allnut is beaming at the villagers.
Hello, Reverend.
Allnut.
Here's your mail. Sorry I'm late, but one thing and another kept me at Lombardy. You know how it is. Maybe you don't.
Good morning, Mr. Allnut.
Morning, miss.
Ah, splendid. They've come at last.
Huh?
My rose trees.
Ah.
You'll stay for tea?
I don't mind if I do. I sure need something in my condition. I'm in for going over when I get back to the mine. Them Belgians will call me all the names they can think of, but I don't mind being cussed out in a foreign language. They won't fire me. There ain't nobody in Africa except yours truly can get up a good head of steam on the old African queen.
Now, Brother, Allnut and Rose are seated at a table in a dining room. Allnut looks acutely uncomfortable as Rose prepares the tea, and Brother scours the pages of a newspaper. As Brother turns the page, Allnut's stomach rumbles. Brother glances up from the paper. Rose looks startled for a moment, then continues pouring the tea. Rose glances at Allnut, while Brother turns the page of his newspaper. Allnut looks like he'd rather be elsewhere.
You take sugar, I seem to remember, Mr. Allnut.
That's right, miss. A couple of spoonfuls.
And milk.
That's right, miss.
Brother looks pointedly at Allnut, who glances up at the ceiling, as though the noise might be coming from there.
Bread and butter.
That's right, miss.
Butter.
Thank you. Just listen to this stomach of mine. The way it sounds, you'd think I had a hyena inside me.
Do have some more bread and butter, Mr. Allnut.
Well, thanks, miss. I don't mind if I do. Excuse me. Queer thing, ain't it? What I mean is, what do you suppose makes a man's stomach carry on like this?
Try a rock cake, Mr. Allnut.
All right, miss.
Herbie Morton's a bishop.
Huh?
Who's that, dear?
Oh, dear, surely you remember Herbie. Blonde, a bit younger than I am, ruddy-faced. He sang a solo at the commemoration concert. Holy, holy, I think it was.
I think I remember. It was so long ago.
He's a bishop now.
Splendid.
Yes, I'd say Herbie was a bit younger than me. 4 or 5 years. Surprising, really. He wasn't up to much as a student. Didn't have more than his share of the social graces. Then, of course, he married well.
Oh.
Yes. That manufacturer's widow. What was his name? Griggs? Griggs. That was it. Alfred Briggs. Soap flakes, I think. Mrs. Alfred Briggs. Not to take anything away from Herbie. I'm delighted for him, naturally.
Of course.
Ain't a thing I can do about it.
It was holy, holy.
More tea, Mr. Allnut?
Thank you, no, miss. I reckon not. I better be shoving off. I'm to get back to the mine before tomorrow night.
Don't hurry, Mr. Allnut.
Do stay for dinner.
Well, thanks, just the same. I probably won't be coming around this way for a couple of months.
Really? Well, what about our mail?
It don't look like there's going to be any mail for a while.
Why not?
The Germans will hold it up.
Why, in heaven's name?
On account of the war.
War? Where, Mr. Allnut?
Europe.
Indeed, between whom?
Germany? England?
England?
That's right.
You really mean war?
Yeah, that's what they tell me. Germans claim the British started it. British claim it was the Germans.
Well, what do you know about it? What's happened?
Well, let's see. That's all I can remember. Oh, yes, the French are in it and all them little countries. Austria, Hungary, Belgium, Spain. I forget who's with who.
Is that all you can tell us?
Oh, that's all I know. I'll see what I can find out when I get to Limbazi.
Well, I'm wondering what our position will be. Enemy aliens.
What harm could anybody do the Germans in this God-forsaken place?
God has not forsaken this place, Mr. Allnut, as my brother's presence here bears witness.
Oh, no offense, miss.
War.
Yeah, looks like it. Well, I'll be shoving off. Thanks for the tea. Take care of yourselves.
Goodbye. Thank you.
Goodbye, Mr. Allnut.
Allnut heads off.
Wretched little man, what indifference. He's a Canadian. Doesn't he realize he's in this too?
Shouldn't we perhaps try to get to Limbasi while we can?
The good shepherd doesn't desert his flock when the wolves are prowling.
They glance towards some scampering children.
We must ask the Almighty to bless the arms of England and carry her through her hour of trial.
They get down on their knees and clasp their hands in prayer. Rose and brother run out onto the porch, where the villager talks to them urgently. The pair rush over to the side of the house, where they spot two German officers marching out of the forest, leading a troop of soldiers. One of the officers salutes Rose and brother as they march past. Then, the soldiers charge into the village. They force the villagers to run out of their homes. Rose and brother look on with alarm, and officers loitering nearby.
Rose, go into the house and stay there. What's the meaning of this outrage? How dare you?
Well, he's a Deutsch-British, can't English.
Brother squares up to the officer, but another officer knocks him in the face with the butt of his rifle, sending him to the ground. Rose crouches down beside brother, whose face is bruised and bloodied. They watch in horror as the villagers are massed together and their homes are torched. The huts rage with fire. Rose looks at brother with a despairing expression. A German officer watches the destruction with casual indifference. Villagers flee their burning homes, white smoke billowing from the conflagration. The soldiers herd the villagers away from the flames. The chapel burns, orange flames licking at the Holy Cross on its roof. Brother watches in wide-eyed horror, while Rose turns away, unable to bear the sight any longer. The chapel falls apart as it's devoured by the inferno. Brother's raking a barren plot next to the charred remains of the village.
Samuel! Samuel! Dear, here you are. And without your hat on. Didn't you hear me calling you?
Yes, but I must get the seeds in now. It's a bit late. August.
But, dear, you know it doesn't matter when one plants in Central Africa.
Africa?
Brother looks confused and weary as Rose helps him inside.
Brother, dear, you're not at all well.
Africa?
She leads him into a bedroom.
I'll help you off with your things.
She reaches for his tie, but he pushes her hands away, then gently ushers her out of the room, closing the door. Rose looks distraught and helpless. Clasping her hands together anxiously, she paces around, her lip quivering with emotion and tears filling her eyes. She dashes into the room. He's collapsed onto the floor. She lifts up a mosquito net curtain from around the bed and lifts him up.
Smite the Amalekites, O Lord. Smite them, hip and thigh. Cold, foggy. Where's Rose? Rose, are you down there in the shop? Bring me a nice hot cup of tea.
I'm here, brother, to see you.
I try so hard, you know, to study Hebrew, Greek. I've got no facility. If I don't pass the examinations, I shall volunteer as a missionary. Rose, too. Not comely among the maidens, but she, too, can be a servant in the house of the Lord. Even for such as she, God has a goodly purpose. I'm going to put my books away. I'm not going to work anymore if I don't pass, it'll just mean that God has other work for me. Thy will be done. Oh, Lord, if it be thy will,
Let me distinguish myself. Give me a call. Here, in England, at home. Mother would be so proud. Oh, Lord, I've tried so hard.
As Rose mops his brow, he closes his eyes and his head sinks to one side. Rose is sitting on the porch, her hands clasped together. She looks up at the trail of smoke in the distance as the steamboat slows down and docks by the village. Rose watches with nervous anticipation as Allnut emerges from the boat. Rose picks up a reel of thread distractedly and winds it onto the spool. She puts it down, then waits anxiously as Allnut approaches. Allnut trudges over the scoured land, looking around at the charred remains of the village. Rose straightens her hair, even now trying to maintain some semblance of decorum, though the tears in her eyes betray her vulnerability. Allnut goes over to her.
So they've been here too, eh? After I left here the other day, the drums started in the forest. Pretty soon my boys was moaning and rolling their eyes. I asked them what the trouble was, and they told me the drums said the soldiers was rounding up their people and marching them off and burning their villages so they wouldn't have no homes to come back to. Sure enough, when I got to the mine, everything was a shambles. My boys took one look and bolted into the forest. The way I look at it, they plan to make soldiers of the natives and take over all Africa. Where's the Reverend?
He's in there. He's dead.
Oh. Oh, well now, ain't that awful? If they'd up and shoot a Reverend, couldn't do him a bit of harm, then, well, there ain't nobody safe.
They didn't shoot him, Mr. Allnut, but they may as well have done.
Well, that's certainly too bad, miss. That's all I can say. When did he die, miss?
He died early this morning.
Excuse it, miss. What I mean to say is, what with the climate and all, the quicker we get him under the ground, the better. If you don't mind my saying so. You got a spade?
Behind the bungalow.
I expect he'd like to be buried in the shade. I'll tell you what, while I'm digging the grave, you get your things together, all the things you want to carry, and then we can clear out of here in a hurry. The Germans might come back any time.
Why should they?
Oh, they'll be back all right, looking for the African queen. They'd give a lot to get their hands on her, you bet. And what's in her, too? Blasting gelatin, tin grubs, cylinders of oxygen, hydrogen, heaps of things them Germans could use. You can trust them for that.
The Germans.
See, I figured we could go somewhere behind an island where it's quiet and we can talk about what to do.
I'll get ready.
Fine. I'll be as quick as I can.
With a sober expression, Rose heads inside. Later, she's crouching by Brother's grave while Allnut stands nearby. As she rises, Allnut grabs a bag and heads towards the river.
Let's go, miss. Let's go while the going's good.
Rose picks up a wicker basket and an umbrella, then follows Allnut towards the river, where the African queen is waiting. Allnut steps onto the boat, then helps Rose on board. Rose sits on the deck while Allnut gathers up a rope, untethering the boat from the shore. He turns a nozzle on the boat's engine, releasing a jet of steam. Allnut stands at the boat's stern and operates the tiller.
Mind taking the tiller, miss? Come on.
But I can't steer.
Come on.
She sits at the stern and takes hold of the tiller, while Allnut stands at the bow and watches the shore.
A little to starboard, miss. No, the other way.
Allnut throws a rope around the branch of a tree, then tightens it. The boat slowly comes into the bank. Allnut turns off the engine, then wipes his brow.
Yeah, so far, so good. Here we are, safe and sound, as you might say. The question is, what next?
Quite.
Well, we got heaps of grub here, miss, so we're all right as far as that goes.
2,000 cigarettes, 2 cases of gin.
We could stay here for months if we wanted to. It's not a bad place to sit out of war in it, a mess. All the comforts of home, including running water.
We simply can't remain here in this backwater until the war is over, Mr. Allnut.
Can't we, miss? You got the map. Show me a way out and I'll take it.
The British will certainly launch an attack. The only question is, which way will they come?
Well, maybe from the sea up the railway to Limbazi, but that would put the Germans between us and them.
Mightn't our soldiers come in from British East, Mr. Allnut?
Yeah, they might, but the war in Europe would be over before they ever hacked their way through that forest. Now, we're in a bit of a fix, miss, no matter which way you look at it. There's one thing certain, they won't come up from the Congo, not even if they wanted to. They got to cross that lake. And nothing's going to cross that lake while the Louisa's there.
The Louisa, what's that?
A 100-ton steamer, miss. Oh. The Germans brought her overland in sections. She's the boss of the lake because she's got a 6-pounder.
A 6-pounder? What's that?
A gun, miss. The biggest gun in Central Africa.
I see.
If it wasn't for the Louisa, there wouldn't be nothing to it. The Germans wouldn't last a month if our men could get across the lake. But all that don't get us any closer to home, does it, miss?
This river, the Ulanga, runs into the lake, doesn't it, Mr. Allnut?
Well, yes, miss, it does. But if you've got any ideas about going down to the lake in this launch, you better get rid of them.
Why?
Well, first off, there's Shona. The Germans have a fort there overlooking the river. If we tried to pass under their guns, they'd blow us right out of the water. And then after that, miss, there's the rapid. 100 miles of water, like it was coming out of a fire hose. And after that, why, the river's even got a different name. It's called the Bora. That just goes to show you, they didn't even know it was the same river until this fellow Spengler got...
He got down it, I remember.
Well, yes, miss, in a dugout canoe, he had a half a dozen Swahili paddlers. Map-making he was. That was his map he was looking at.
Mr. Allnut.
Yes, miss?
What did you say is in these boxes with the red lines on them?
Well, them? Well, that's blasting gelatin, miss.
Is it dangerous?
Oh, bless you, no, miss. That's safety stuff, that is. You can get it wet and it don't do it any harm. You set fire to it and it just burns. You can hit it with a hammer and it won't go off. At least I don't think it will. It takes a detonator to set it off. I'll put it over the side, though, if it worries you.
No, we may want it. Mr. Allnut.
Yes, miss?
What are these long, round, torpedo-like things?
Oh, them? Them's oxygen and hydrogen cylinders, miss.
Mr. Allnut.
I'm still right here, miss. There ain't much of any other place I could be on a 30-foot boat.
You're a machinist, aren't you? I mean, wasn't that your position at the mine?
Yes, a kind of a fixer, jack of all trades and master of none, like they say.
Could you make a torpedo?
How's that, miss?
Could you make a torpedo?
A torpedo? Ask me to make a dreadnought and do it upright. A torpedo, miss. You don't really know what you're asking. You see, there ain't nothing so complicated as the insides of a torpedo. It's got gyroscopes, compressed air chambers, compensating cylinders.
But all those things, those gyroscopes and things, they're only to make it go, aren't they?
Yeah, yeah, go and hit what it's aimed at.
Well, we've got the African Queen.
How's that, miss?
If we were to fill those cylinders with that blasting gelatin and then fix them so that they would stick out over the end of the boat and then run the boat against the side of a ship, they would go off, just like a torpedo, wouldn't they?
Yeah, yeah. They're detonators in the
end. We could, what do you call it, get a good head of steam up and then point the launch toward a ship, and just before she hit, we could dive off, couldn't we?
Sure, miss, sure, absolutely. There's only one little thing wrong with your idea. There ain't nothing to torpedo.
Oh, yes, there is.
Is what?
Something to torpedo.
What's that?
The Louisa.
The Louisa? Oh, now, don't talk silly, miss. You can't do that. Honest, you can't. I told you before, we can't get down the Ulanga.
Spengler did.
Well, in a canoe,
if the German
miss.
Did it, we can do it, too.
I'm not in no
launch,
miss.
How do you know? You've never tried it.
Well, I never tried shooting myself in the head, neither. The trouble with you, miss, is you don't know anything about boats.
In other words, you are refusing to help your country in her hour of need, Mr. Allnut?
Huh? Well, I wouldn't put it that way.
Just how would you put it, Mr. Allnut?
All right, miss. Have it your own way. But don't blame me for what happened.
Very well, then. Let's get started.
What, now, miss?
Yes, now.
Well, there ain't 2 hours of daylight left, miss.
We can go a long way in 2 hours, Mr. Allnut.
I'll have to get the old kettle to boiling and...
Well... Do so, Mr. Allnut.
With an irate frown, Allnut heads to the bow and throws chunks of wood into the furnace.
Could you make a torpedo? Well, do so, Mr. Allnut.
Now the boat's chugging along the river again.
A little starboard, miss. That's right. Hey, you're doing fine, miss.
It's really quite easy, isn't it, Mr. Allnut?
Ah, you got to learn to read the river.
Read the river?
Yeah, you see that long thing over there? Looks kind of like a V. That means a snag.
Oh.
Now this choppy water over here, that means shallow. The Queen don't draw much water, so we can go right over them. Most boats to get the bottom tore up.
And when it's smooth and flat like that over there, does that mean a rock, Mr. Allnut?
Rock the hippo, miss. But don't go bumping into no hippo. Makes them awful mad. This boat's only big enough for the two of us.
Suddenly, noticing the engine, Allnut leaps up and rams his feet against the boiler. Rose watches curiously. After a moment, steam hisses from the contraption. Placing a cloth around his hand, Allnut adjusts the nozzle, then returns to Rose.
What was the matter, Mr. Allnut?
Feed pump full of scum and rut. She gets clogged up. Kicking her starts her to working again. I gotta act fast because one of my boys dropped a screwdriver down the safety valve.
What would happen if you didn't kick her?
Whole boiler'd blow up.
But if we're going downstream, Mr. Allnut, why'd we need the engine at all?
Boat's got to go fast in the water. You can't steer. If I was to let the engine die going down the rapids, we'd be goners.
Mr. Allnut?
Yes, miss?
Why don't you dismantle the safety valve and remove the screwdriver?
You know, I'm going to do that one of these days. The only reason I ain't done it up to now is that I kind of like kicking it. She's all I've got.
The African Queen noses upstream along a narrow channel, then veers towards the shore. Allnut cuts off the engine, then heads up to the bow and throws an anchor into the water. He mops his stubbly face with an old rag.
It's kind of hot work, ain't it, miss? I could do with a drink. Excuse me, miss.
Oh.
He takes a liquor bottle out of a cabinet. Rose looks at it with alarm. He pours himself a glass and takes a drink. He gasps with pleasure, then smiles at Rose.
You gonna have one, miss?
What is it?
Gin, miss.
Allnut takes another drink, then notices Rose's disturbed countenance.
Something the matter, miss? How would you like a nice cup of tea?
Yeah, I'd like a cup of tea.
Rose's face is taut with tension as she watches Allnut put tea into a kettle, then take it over to a faucet. He fills the kettle with water.
Of course, it'll taste a little rusty, but then we can't have everything, can we? Hey, I'll get this out of the way.
He dismantles the tiller, then hands Rose a cup.
Sugar, miss?
Thank you.
I don't mention it.
He opens a container, and Rose holds out her cup. He puts a teaspoon into her cup.
For the supper, miss?
It's too hot to eat.
As she pours water into the cup, Allnut sits across from her on the bench.
How long have you been out here, miss?
About 10 years.
And what part of England do you come from?
The Midlands.
Well, it sounds pretty anyway.
Yes, it is. It's very pretty.
Ever get homesick?
It's Sunday afternoons I think of most. The peace and the quiet.
Yeah, on Sunday afternoons, I was always sleeping one off.
This is very, very good.
Yes, it isn't half bad, is it?
What brought you to Africa, Mr. Allnut?
The Zambezi Bridge, miss. A whole boatload of us Canucks came over to work on it. Don't know yet what they wanted a bridge for, both sides of the river being the same, but why does the chicken cross the road?
I beg your pardon.
Nothing, miss. Sometimes I wish I was back rubbing elbows, as they say. You know, there's nothing like the jostling, the noise, and the music of a Saturday night for cheering a fella up. The rest of the week, I'd be taking orders from somebody. Out here, I'm my own boss. Anyway, I was until... You didn't see any crocodiles in this arm, did you, miss?
Crocodiles, no.
There's no shallows for them. The current's too swift. I could do with a bath before I turn in.
Bath myself.
Well, and I'll just go up in the bow and hang off the anchor chain. You can stay back here in the stern and do whatever you have to. As long as we don't look, it won't matter, huh? Well, how about it, miss?
Very well, Mr. Allnut.
That's the ticket.
Allnut heads to the bow and begins to undress, while at the stern, obscured by the boiler, Rose does the same. One by one, Rose removes her garments and throws them onto the deck. Rose is bathing in the water at the stern of the boat while Allnut is at the bow. Allnut clambers onto the boat, wearing sodden undergarments. Rose swims over to the stern and tries to pull herself out of the water, but to no avail. She stretches out her foot to gain some leverage, but the edge of the boat is too high. She makes her way round to the side of the boat, and this time manages to hook her fingers over the rim. She tries throwing a leg over, but again, the boat is too high.
Mr. Allnut!
Right here.
I can't get back into the boat.
I'll give you a hand.
Close your eyes, please.
Looking away, Allnut pulls her onto the boat.
All right, thanks.
Allnut leaves Rose alone to clamber the rest of the way onto the deck. She's wearing only her wet underclothes. Quickly, she looks around and grabs a blanket, which she hangs over the roof of the deck, creating a curtain. Allnut pulls another blanket over himself and settles down for a sleep. Allnut gets up again with a look of consternation and rummages around his sleeping area before pulling out a length of tangled rope and then a spade, which he throws to one side. Rose hangs her clothes outside her sleeping area. Night has fallen. Allnut stirs beneath his blanket, then wakes up to find he's soaking wet. He gets up and draws the blanket around his shoulders, then heads towards Rose's sheltered sleeping area. He sits outside her area for a moment, being battered by the rain, then peeks behind the curtain of clothing. He drops the clothing back in place for a moment, then decides to go for it. He plunges ahead into Rose's sleeping area.
Mr. Allnut!
Sorry, I woke you, miss.
What are you doing?
I ain't doing nothing, miss.
Well, get out. This instant.
With a look of despair, he heads back outside into the driving rain. Allnut sits outside, pulling the blanket over his head. In the shelter, Rose glances up at the roof, as if noticing the pelting rain for the first time.
Mr. Allnut! Mr. Allnut! You may come in out of the rain!
Allnut ventures back into Rose's shelter.
Thank you, miss.
He lays on a bench in the cockpit and draws the blanket around his body, resting his head on Rose's wicker basket.
Oh, miss.
Yes, Mr. Allnut.
I'm sorry I gave you such a turn.
That's quite all right, Mr.
Good night, miss.
Good night, Mr. Allnut.
Rose looks up at the rain and notices that Allnut's head is still unprotected. She opens her umbrella and props it next to him, sheltering his head from the rain. The boat is cruising along the river. Rose and Allnut are in the cockpit, with Rose guiding the tiller.
What a frightfully strong smell!
What smell?
The river. Smells like marigolds. Stale ones.
Does, huh? Not a very good smell for a flower.
They're very pretty, though, marigolds.
They are, huh?
Mr. Allnut?
Yes, miss?
The current's quite strong here, isn't it?
Yes, we're getting near the rapid.
Really? So soon?
Just around that bend. Kind of dangerous. Better let me take over.
Rose sits to the side as Allnut takes hold of the tiller. She watches with alarm as the boat nears the swirling rapids. Allnut notices her expression and beams with amusement. The boat lurches onto the rapids. Rose holds onto the edge of the cockpit, bracing herself as the boat is jostled from side to side by the raging waters. Allnut keeps a watchful eye over an anxious Rose as the boat cuts through the rolling waters. Allnut works the tiller frantically as the boat dips and sways on the raging torrent. Rose looks terrified as the boat races along the surging river, sprays of water crashing onto the deck. The boat lurches between boulders down a mini waterfall, rocking from side to side, then finally steadying as it approaches calmer waters.
Here you are, miss.
Allnut heads off, leaving Rose at the tiller. She mops the sweat from her face with the sleeve of her blouse. Allnut smiles with amusement.
Well, miss?
Yes, Mr. Allnut.
How'd you like it?
Like it?
White water, rapid.
I never dreamed.
I don't blame you for being scared, miss. Not one little bit. Ain't no person in their right mind ain't scared of white water.
I never dreamed that any mere physical experience could be so stimulating.
How's that, miss?
I've only known such excitement a few times before. A few times in my dear brother's sermons when the spirit was really upon him.
You mean you want to go on?
Naturally.
Miss, you're crazy.
I beg your pardon?
You know what would have happened if we'd come up against one of them rocks?
But we didn't. I must say I'm filled with admiration for your skill, Mr. Allnut. Do you suppose after I've practiced steering a bit, that someday I might try?
Miss, let me tell you something. Them rapids ain't nothing to watch out in front of us. On second thoughts, I wouldn't call them rapids at all.
I can hardly wait.
But, miss...
Now that I've had a taste of it, I don't wonder you love boating, Mr. Allnut.
He looks disgruntled. Allnut scoops up some river water into a glass, then sits on the deck with Rose, who's drinking tea. He uncaps his bottle of gin, then pours it into the glass of river water.
Is something the matter, Mr. Allnut? Tell me.
Nothing. Nothing you'd understand.
I simply can't imagine what could be the matter. It's been such a pleasant day. What is it? Yes, Mr. Allnut?
All this foolish talk about the Louisa. Going down the river.
What do you mean?
I mean, we ain't going to do nothing of the sort.
Of course we are. What an absurd idea.
What an absurd idea. What an absurd idea. Lady, you got 10 absurd ideas for my one.
Just why don't you want to go on, Mr. Allnut?
The river. That's Shona.
Shona?
You're darn right, Shona. All it would take would be one bullet in the blasting gelatin and we'd be... The little bits and pieces.
Then we'll go by night.
Oh, no, we won't. After Shona, there's the rapids, and nobody in their right mind would tackle the rapids at night.
But then we'll go in the daylight. We'll go on the far side of the river from Shona just as fast as ever we can.
I know we won't.
You agreed to go.
I never did. I never agreed to nothing.
You are a liar, Mr. Allnut. And what is worse, you are a coward.
Ooh! Coward yourself. You ain't no lady, no, miss. That's what my poor old mother would say to you.
My poor old mother would hear you.
Whose boat is this, anyway? I asked you on board because I was sorry for you on account of you losing your brother at all.
What you get for feeling sorry for people?
Well, I ain't sorry no more, you crazy psalm-singing, skinny old maid!
Allnut turns and staggers down the deck, leaving Rose looking perturbed.
There was the bull fisherman set sail from off Pimlico. And when he got off Pimlico, the winds did begin to blow, and the little boat wibble wobbled so. Then overboard was he, singing, Twinkie-deedle-dum. Twinkie-deedle-dee was a highly interesting song that he sung. Twinkie-deedle-dum, Twinkie-deedle-dee.
Allnut's asleep on the deck of the boat. He twitches restlessly and swipes a fly in front of his face. His eyes flicker open, and he slowly eases himself up. Rose is emptying a bottle of gin into the river. Allnut notices. She drops the bottle into the river, then extracts another one from a wooden crate.
Oh, miss. Oh, have pity, miss.
She disposes of the bottle in the river.
You don't know what you're doing, miss. I'll perish without a hair of the dog. Oh, miss. It ain't your property. Oh. Oh.
He rubs his aching head.
Oh, head.
Oh. Rose empties another bottle of gin, then drops the offending article into the water. The bottle floats in the river, along with a multitude of similarly discarded gin bottles. Allnut is shaving in a grimy mirror. Rose is reading a book.
It's a great thing to have a lady aboard with clean habits. Set the man a good example. A man alone, he gets to living like a hog. Then, too, with me, it's always put things off. Never do today what you can put off till tomorrow. But with you, business before pleasure, every time. Do all your personal laundry. Make yourself spick and span. Get all the mending out of the way. And then, and only then, sit down for a nice, quiet hour. The good book. I tell you, it's a model, like an inspiration. Oh, I ain't had this old engine so clean in years, inside and out. Just look at her, miss. See how she practically sparkles. Myself, too. Guess you haven't never had a look at me without my whiskers and all cleaned up. I bet you wouldn't hardly recognize me, worse that much of a change. Freshened you up, too. I only had some clean clothes like you. Now, you... Why, you could be at high tea. Say, that's an idea, miss. How's about a nice little cup of tea? Now, don't you stir. I'll be glad to make it for you.
Rose has kept her nose in the book the whole time. Affronted, Allnut turns his back on her and sits down. Rose briefly glances in his direction. Allnut throws her a disgruntled look, then turns away sulkily. After a moment, he looks back at her.
How's the book, miss? Well, not that I ain't read it. That is to say, my poor old mum used to read me stories out of it. How's about reading it out loud? I could sure do with a little spiritual comfort myself.
Rose turns the page, ignoring him.
And you call yourself a Christian? Do you hear me? Don't you? Don't you? Huh? Huh?
Rose starts slightly, but otherwise maintains her composure, concentrating on her book. Allnut polishes the boiler, shooting Rose a derisive look.
What you being so mean for, miss? Man takes a drop too much once in a while. It's only human nature.
Nature, Mr. Allnut, is what we are put in this world to rise above.
Miss, I'm sorry. I apologize. What more can a man do than say he's sorry, huh? You done paid me back, miss. You didn't even leave me a drop. Miss, have a heart. Fair's fair. You've got to say something. I don't care what it is, but you got to say something. I'll be honest with you, miss. I just can't stand no more of this. I just ain't used to it, that's all.
So you think it was your nasty drunkenness I minded?
Well, what else?
You promised you'd go down the river.
Miss, listen to me and try to understand. There's death a dozen times over down the river. I'm sorry to disappoint you, but don't blame me. Blame the Yolanga.
You promised.
Well, I'm taking my promise back.
He turns away, sneering at her over his shoulder. Rose remains glued to her book.
All right, miss. You win. As the crocodiles will be glad to hear. Down the river we go.
Have some breakfast, Mr. Allnut.
Well, thanks for asking, and I don't mind if I do, because it'll be my last.
Or no. Get up steam. Breakfast can wait.
Slides into the water.
Waiting for that supper, miss.
More crocodiles splash into the water. Allnut gives the boiler a kick, then checks the pressure gauge. He looks warily towards the riverbank, where a slew of crocodiles are leaping into the water. Allnut shakes his head.
Don't be worried, Mr. Allnut.
Oh, I ain't worried, miss. Gave myself up for dead back where we started.
With sudden excitement, Rose spots something in the distance. Allnut follows her gaze to a fort perched high on a hilltop. Beaming with excitement, Rose sits down on the floor of the cockpit as the African Queen cruises by. It's being watched through binoculars by German officers.
Warum landen die nicht?
Sie landen wahrscheinlich am unteren Steg.
Allnut crouching down out of sight while Rose steers the tiller with one hand. She peers over the edge of the boat at the fort.
Es landet nicht.
Es kann nicht. Das Steuer ist kaputt.
Es könnte ankern. Feuern Sie einen Schuss. Was? Feuer.
Komm her. Feuer über das Schiff.
The officers order a soldier to fire at the boat. The bullet ricochets off the side.
Get down lower, men!
Rose sinks lower in the cockpit. The Germans watch the boat cruise by. A hail of bullets pelt the African Queen. A piece of rubber hosing breaks free from the boiler, releasing a jet of steam. The needle on the pressure gauge winds down, and the pistons slow to a stop. Rose is wearing a worried frown. The soldiers shoot at the Queen with unrestrained enthusiasm. Bullets tear holes into the boxes of blasting gelatin. Allnut gets to his knees, wary of the flying bullets. He wraps a cloth around the hot rubber hosing and inserts it back into the boiler. A bullet punctures the boiler. As Allnut tightens the cloth around the tubing, the pistons start to work again. Allnut tapes up the tubing, holding it in place. A German officer aims his rifle, placing the crosshairs over Allnut, but before he can pull the trigger, Sun glares through the lens. Having secured the hosing, Allnut crouches back down as the African Queen cruises out of sight of the fort.
Are we going to be all right, Mr. Allnut?
Oh, yes, everything's all right. We can keep steam up, but the boiler don't bust in that manhole. And we don't pile up on them rocks.
A smile drops from Rose's face when she spots the raging rapids up ahead. The boat careens into the thunderous waters. Rose grips the tiller as waves crash onto the deck. Allnut notices her struggling and helps her to control the lever. The Queen lurches down a rocky channel, swaying from side to side. Allnut kicks the boiler as Rose struggles to keep the tiller steady. Allnut uses a wrench to tighten a bolt on the juddering pistons. The Queen is tossed to and fro by the swirling waves. Water cascades onto the deck, and the tarpaulin roof collapses onto Rose. Allnut dashes over, grabs the tiller with one hand, and pulls the tarpaulin off Rose with the other. Rose takes the tiller again, then Allnut runs back to the bow. Rose grasps the tiller, grimacing with exertion as the boat is buffeted by the waves. Finally, the Queen cruises out of the rapids and onto calm water.
We made it! We made it!
Hip, hip, hooray!
Oh, we sure put one over on him that time, didn't we, miss?
What a curious thing to have people shooting at us.
Wasn't that surprise to see the African Queen that didn't start shooting till we were past?
I know it's dangerous in there, but it's the rate of
noise. Didn't believe we tried to get down the gorge.
I suppose it's because the bullets sound like mosquitoes.
They didn't believe anybody could.
I felt like flapping at them.
But we showed them. Hip, hip, hooray!
Allnut throws off Rose's hat, and before he knows what he's doing, he kisses her on the lips. They regard each other awkwardly.
Handling, is the boat all right?
Well, yes. It's better than all right, miss. Well, we're running short of fuel. Better put in someplace.
With an anxious expression, Allnut sits by the boiler and opens up the hatch of the furnace. He tosses in some firewood, while in the cockpit, Rose takes hold of the tiller with an uneasy expression.
Well, I guess I better do some pumping. We'll be swimming pretty soon.
Oh, let me do that.
Oh, no, miss.
No, please let me, while you get the fuel.
Easy does it, miss. Don't wear yourself out.
He takes her hand and shows her how to work the pump. As he does, his face melts with affection. Quickly, he leaves her to it. As she watches him venture into the forest, a dreamy, misty-eyed look comes over her. Then she checks herself and quickly snaps out of her reverie. Allnut emerges from the forest with a bundle of firewood. He clambers onto the boat and crosses over to the boiler, where he drops the wood. Rose notices that he's limping.
Picked up a thorn in my foot. It's going right through the rubber sole.
Let me.
He sits on the bench. She unties his shoe and takes it off, then picks out the thorn from the sole of his foot. They share a brief smile.
Oh, thank you, miss.
As he puts his shoe back on, she glances away bashfully. Furtively, she looks at him again, and he meets her gaze. She glances away.
Do you recognize these flowers, Mr. Allnut?
Huh?
I've never seen them before.
Well, I can't say as I have either.
Perhaps no one has. I don't suppose they even have a name.
Well, whether they have or not, they sure are pretty.
He puts his hand on her shoulder. Rose seems uncertain for a moment, and then places her hand on his. Her eyes are cast downwards. He slowly leans towards her, and she turns her face towards him. He kneels down beside her, and then they kiss. Rose brings the kettle over from the furnace. She looks at Allnut lying asleep on the floor of the cockpit, and she smiles to herself. She holds up a cup and pours the water, at first missing the cup, so transfixed is she by Allnut's slumbering form. Allnut stirs awake, glimpses Rose, then pretends to still be sleeping. She brings the cup of tea over to Allnut, then hesitates and places the cup beside him. She sits on a bench and watches him, an affectionate smile settling on her face.
Mr. Allnut. Dear.
He stirs, a smile spreading across his face when he notices the tea.
Well, now. This is more like it. Breakfast in bed.
Two spoonfuls of sugar is right, isn't it?
Fancy your building the fire and all while I slept.
He takes a sip.
Dear, what is your first name?
Charlie.
Charlie. That's a nice name. Charlie. Charlie.
Give us a kiss.
Beaming, she rushes into his arms and kisses him.
Charlie.
You know, the more I look at this place, the prettier it gets. I expect it's just about the prettiest place I've ever been to, and that's saying a lot. Well, not that I ain't all for going on down the river, you understand. The sooner we blow up the old Louisa, the better. What I meant was, I'd like to come back here someday.
Then you think we can do it?
Do it? Of course we can do it. Nothing a man can't do if he believes in himself. Never say die, that's my motto.
I've had misgivings. I was beginning to think that the whole thing was a mistake.
How's that, miss? I mean, Rosie.
I had a moment of weakness.
Oh, well, now, if you're feeling weak, a day or two more here won't make any difference.
Oh, no. We'll go on. Thank heaven for your strength, Charlie.
Allnut makes faces at hippos. Full of glee, Rose laughs.
Oh, no.
Some of the hippos duck their heads underwater. Now Allnut scratches under his arms at a troop of monkeys. He puts his arm around Rose and makes a hippo face at her. Suddenly, a smile drops from Allnut's face.
Rose.
The African Queen is approaching a raging waterfall. Allnut and Rose look on in horror as the African Queen takes them over the edge. Ah! Water cascades onto the deck as the boat is tossed by the tumultuous waters. Rose is thrown to the floor, and Allnut helps her up as the Queen finally drifts onto still waters. Allnut staggers beleaguredly towards the bow.
We nearly done it that time, didn't we, Rosie?
I wonder how much damage we've done.
Well, let's get the water out and see.
They've pulled the boat ashore, which is filled knee-high with water. Rose and Allnut start using buckets to empty the water out of the boat.
Yeah. Better than we could have hoped for. Skin seems tight enough. No water coming in.
What was all that clattering just before we stopped?
That's what we got to find out, old girl.
How are you going to do that, dear?
I got to go down underneath and take a look. I hope there's no fancy currents down there.
He takes off his trousers.
Well, here goes.
Wearing only long johns and a T-shirt, Allnut lowers himself into the river. He checks the rudder while Rose peers over the edge of the boat, watching him. He checks the propeller, then comes back up.
Could you see anything, dear?
Yeah. Shaft's twisted like a corkscrew and there's a blade going off the prop.
We'll have to mend it, then.
Mend it? Fat chance.
Oh, why is that, dear? Well, what should we have to do before we can go on?
I'll tell you. I'll tell you what we could do if we was back in the slip at Limbazi. We could pull this old tub out and take the shaft down and haul it over to the workshop and forge it straight again. And we could write to the makers for a new prop. You might even have one in stock, kind of how this boat's only 30 years old. And while we was waiting, we could clean her bottom and paint her up. And we put the new shaft in and the new prop and go on our way as if nothing had happened. But this ain't Limbazi.
Couldn't you straighten the shaft without taking the boat up on shore?
Oh, I don't know. It might. Means working underwater. Well, could be done, maybe.
If you could get the shaft up on shore, could you straighten it?
Well, I ain't got no anvil, I ain't got no hearth, I ain't got no coal, I ain't got nothing.
I saw a Mazar native working once, using charcoal. On a big hollow stone, he had a boy to fan the charcoal.
Oh, yeah, I seen that. I'd use a bellows myself. Make one easy enough.
Well, if you think that would be better.
Lots and lots of firewood on the bank.
Why don't you try it?
No. Ain't no use, Rosie. I was forgetting the prop. The blade's gone.
Can't we go on the blades that are left?
Oh, the prop would be out of balance. His shaft would be all twisted up like a corkscrew again.
We'll have to make a new blade, then. There's lots of iron and stuff that you could use.
Yeah, tie it on.
Well, if you think that would do, but wouldn't it be better to weld it on? Isn't that the right word, dear? Weld it on?
You're a one, Rosie. Really, you are.
Well, isn't well the right word, dear? You know what I mean, even if it isn't, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Allnut's underwater, hammering the rudder. He comes back up for air.
I swallowed half the river that time.
You were down there an awfully long time. I was scared.
The shaft don't seem to want to come out. It's stuck like.
Charlie.
Huh?
Let me help you.
How do you mean? What do you think you're going to do?
I'm going to go down there, too.
Rosie, are you cracked? The currents down there are fierce. I don't want a drowned woman on my hands. What will you be thinking of next? Well, here goes.
He lowers himself back into the water. As he works on the rudder, Rose swims down to join him. Now, Rose operates the bellows over some hot charcoal. Allnut hammers a glowing metal rod.
My old dad had put me to blacksmithing when I was a kid. I don't think I should have ever come to Africa. But then I wouldn't have met you, Rosie, old girl. Well, that's about as good as I can get it. It didn't take so long, neither. Blade will be a different thing. I gotta make that.
Now the propellers heated over the charcoal, then placed on a rock. It's then hammered against another sheet of metal. Underwater, Rose and Allnut fix the propeller back onto the boat. The propeller spins round successfully.
Her turn's right enough, but that don't mean nothing. Question is, will she stand up under a full head of steam? Now we get the answer out there. The Lord help us if it ain't the right one.
Allnut heads to the engine and pulls a lever, while Rose sits in the cockpit and opens her umbrella, shielding herself from the sun. The African Queen cruises out onto the river. The boat chugs along at a healthy pace. Rose is sitting in the cockpit, Allnut leaning up against her.
Looks like this old river got tired of all the running and jumping she did. Decided to lay down and rest for a while.
This must be where the river changes her name from Ulanga to Bora.
A large crane-like bird flaps across the riverbank.
Pinch me, Rosie. Here we are, going down the river like Anthony and Cleopatra on their barge.
A herd of elephants.
If it hadn't been for you, this couldn't be. Don't you feel proud of yourself?
Certainly not. Look at the way you kept the engine going. Look at how you mended the propeller. It wasn't me at all. I don't think there's another man alive who could have done it.
Right you are, Rosie, because no other man alive's got you.
Sure.
I'll never forget the way you looked going over the falls. Head up, chin out, hair blowing in the wind. The living picture of a heroine.
Fancy me a heroine. Oh, Charlie, you've lost your mind.
Lost my heart, too. Shall we drop the anchor, sweetheart?
The river needs to rest for a while. I suppose we do, too.
Allnut throws the anchor overboard. He puts his arms around Rose and hugs her tightly. Suddenly, they're surrounded by a swarm of insects.
Rosie, I got a feeling that pretty soon we're going to wish we was back shooting the rapids.
Oh.
Ooh, this is awful. Oh. We got to get out of here.
Oh.
We ain't got no steam.
I'm going in. I'm going under the water.
Yeah, that's it. No.
But I'm being eaten alive.
What's that you said about being eaten alive? Look at that.
Oh, get me out of here, Charlie. I can't stand this.
He covers her with a blanket. Allnut quickly draws up the anchor. He uses a wooden pole to push the Queen away from the shore. As the boat heads back out into the river, the insects dissipate.
We got away from them. You can come out now.
Oh. I'm ashamed of myself, Charlie, acting this way. But I couldn't help it. I was going mad. Oh, you're so bitten.
The bites themselves ain't so bad. It's having them all around you. Mm. I've heard of them driving buffalo and native cattle stock staring mad, so they just run and run till they fall down dead.
Will it be that way wherever we tie up?
Probably.
What are we going to do, Charlie?
Well, if the river keeps straight and deep and slow, there ain't nothing much can hurt us. I'll let the anchor out of the way. That'll keep us out of trouble.
Allnut puts his arm around Rose and holds her close.
How much further you suppose it is to the lake, Charlie?
Well, not so many miles as the crow flies, no telling how many days. All depends on how much winding around this old river does. What a time we've had, Rosie. What a time. We never lack the stories to tell our grandchildren, will we?
The river is dotted with clots of grassy marshland. The African Queen cruises through them, Allnut climbing up the mast and looking ahead.
Nothing but grass and papyrus as far as you can see.
Which is the main channel?
Don't look like there is one.
What are we going to do, Charlie?
I don't know.
Go round and round here forever. You can't just go round and round.
Well, we get in there and the grass closes in back of our stern. There's no going back, Rosie. If anything happens, we just sit there and we go off our heads with fever.
I know it.
All right. Pays your money and you take your choice.
That way.
Put her over.
Rose steers the tiller, Allnut guiding her with a wave of his hand. He steers her one way, then the other, trying to keep the boat clear of the grassland. The African Queen slowly snakes its way through a narrow channel, crowded in on both sides by tangled reeds and grass. Allnut pushes the boat along, using the wooden pole. Rose does the same, straining with the effort. The boat moves sluggishly through the reeds. Rose's hair is in disarray, her face grimy with sweat and dirt.
Come along by steam, we've paddled and pushed and pulled this old boat along with the hook. What we ain't done up to now is get out and carry her. Looks like that'll come next.
Hard to breathe if the air is so heavy.
Yeah. Can't tell it from the water. Or the water from the land, for that matter. All the channels we've lost, all the twisting and turning we've done. We may come out back where we started if we come out at all.
We've always followed the current, what little there is of it.
That don't mean nothing with this river. This river's crazy. Crazy as I am. Sorry, old girl. Well, the only thing that'll put the roses back in our cheeks is to get out of these reeds.
They drive their paddles into the water.
What I said about having to get out and carry this old boat is meant to be a joke. Look like a joke now. Well.
Allnut climbs overboard. Allnut's chest high in the water, pulling the boat along by a rope tied to its bow. Rose leans over the side, struggling to push the boat forward with the wooden pole. She grimaces with the effort. Allnut looks haggard and weary as he grips the rope over his shoulder and pulls the boat forward. Now he clambers back onto the boat. Rose suddenly looks in horror at Allnut's back.
Oh, that little baggage.
Rose helps him off with his shirt, revealing that his body is covered with leeches.
Oh, pull them off me. Oh, no, the head stay in. Poison your blood.
Salt.
She rubs the salt over the leeches. The leeches fall off his flesh.
Oh, legs.
He pulls up his trouser legs and Rose pats salt onto the leeches on his ankles. Allnut leans over, visibly shaken.
Oh, if there's anything in the world I hate, it's leeches. Oh, the filthy little devils.
Rose puts the lid back on the container of salt while Allnut catches his breath. Allnut sinks the wooden pole into the water and starts pushing the boat forward. On the opposite side, Rose does the same with her paddle, and together they inch the boat onwards. The boat becomes stuck. Allnut struggles to push it forward, but to no avail. Rose turns to him, and they exchange a look of naked despair. Allnut looks apprehensively at the water. With tears in her eyes, Rose goes over to him as he clambers over the side of the boat and back into the river. Reluctantly, Allnut trudges to the bow and takes hold of the rope. Rose is in the water, cutting her way through the reeds with a machete, while behind her, Allnut drags the boat by the rope. He grimaces as he pulls at the rope. Now Allnut's lying down, shivering beneath a blanket.
There, dear.
Fine specimen of a man I am, ain't I?
You're the bravest man that ever lived. You just overdue, that's all. What you need is a few hours' sleep. There. Now you're all comfortable. Go to sleep, dear. And when you wake up, we'll be on our way again.
How's he?
Yes, Tommy.
You want to know the truth, don't you? Even if we had all our strength, we'd never get her off this mud. We're finished.
I know what.
But Rosie, I'm not one bit sorry I came. What I mean is, it was worth it.
He turns away drowsily. Rose sits up, clasping her hands together in prayer.
Dear Lord, we've come to the end of our journey. In a little while, we will stand before you. I pray for you to be merciful. Judge us not for our weakness, but for our love. And open the doors of heaven for Charlie and me.
Rose bows her head in despair. Now moving high over the stranded African Queen, revealing that just a short distance away, the thick swampland gives way to miles of vast open water. Dark storm clouds roll overhead. The first drops of rain fall onto some white flowers, swiftly followed by a ferocious downpour. The driving rain pelts the river. Flamingos scurry out of the water. A giraffe cranes its neck and a hippo grunts. A lion heads into the bushes. A herd of antelope charge across a grassy field. Foaming white water surges across rocks and through gullies. The water starts to flood the muddy banks of the grassy swamp. A shaft of sunlight breaks through the storm clouds. The African Queen is now floating on the rising water. The boat drifts along the waterway, being pulled by the slow-moving current. Rose and Allnut are asleep on the deck of the boat. Allnut stirs restlessly, and his eyes flicker open. The boat drifts away from the grassland and into open water. Allnut raises his head, wearing a curious expression. With dawning realization, he gets up and looks over the edge of the boat. As he lays eyes upon the open water, a bewildered smile settles on his face.
Rosie.
She's fast asleep on her front.
Rosie, dear. Look, we're on the lake. The rain did it. Just lifted the old queen up. Carried her over the mud. We couldn't have been 100 yards from it last night. Look, Rosie.
He helps her to her feet, and she looks around in wonder.
Let's build the fire. And get the engine started and go right out into the middle, away from these reeds where we can breathe.
Oh, sure. We'll be out of here in a jiffy.
Rose and Allnut are enjoying the cool breeze.
This air. Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah. It's like... I know you don't approve, but it's like a shot of gin. Makes your blood race, your face numb, and your spirit soar.
I'm sorry I poured that gin out, Charlie.
Oh, forget it, Rosie. And just to show you there's no hard feelings, I'll make you another cup of tea.
She finishes her cup.
Oh. Carry on more over a cup of tea than I do over a glass of gin.
Suddenly, they spot a ship up ahead.
Is it?
Yes, it's the Louise, and she's coming right toward us. She must be doing a good 12 knots. Gotta make a run for it, back to the reed.
Allnut fires up the engine. In the distance, a trail of black smoke drifts out of the Louisa as it heads towards them. Allnut steers the African Queen back towards the reeds. The boat reaches the marshes once more. Allnut jumps out of the boat and starts pushing it further into the reeds, hiding it from view. Rose uses the wooden pole to push the boat along. Allnut pushes at the boat's stern. The Louisa is getting closer.
She's coming right toward us.
Allnut and Rose watch with trepidation as the larger boat nears the reeds. Then it starts to move off.
I thought for a minute they'd seen us.
Going toward that island.
Probably anchor there for the night and leave in the morning. Don't you worry, they'll be back again. You know how the Germans are. They lays down systems and then they sticks to them. Monday's their one place, Tuesday's someplace else, and Wednesday they'll be back here.
How long will it take to get the torpedoes ready?
I don't know. Depends on the detonators. Gotta devise something. I know what you're thinking, Rosie. You're thinking of taking the Queen out at night when the Louisa comes back, ain't you, old girl? Well, we ought to manage it.
Yeah, that ought to work.
When we ram into her, the ends of these nails will hit the percussion caps and shoot the bullets into the gelatin.
Oh, Charlie, you're wonderful.
Can't put them in the cylinders yet. They're pretty tricky. We'll put them in when we're ready to start.
We'll be dark by then. Do you think that you can do it in the dark?
Well, it's a case of have to.
You're quite sure that they will come back with the Louise, aren't you, Charlie?
Uh-huh. Dead sure. Let me see. The lake's 100 miles long, 50 miles wide. Louisa does about 12 knots. That's 120 miles a day. Yep. She'll be back here tomorrow. When she comes, we'll be ready for her.
He pokes the torpedo through a hole cut into the side of the African Queen.
Charlie, let's make the Queen as clean as we can. Scrub her decks and polish her brass.
Sure. She ought to look her best, representing as she does the Royal Navy.
Rose hammers a Union Jack flag onto the mast of the ship.
You know, Rosie, I've been thinking.
Yes, Charlie?
Well, there ain't no use of us both going to do it. Now that I've had time to study it, I can plainly see it's a one-man job.
You couldn't be more right, Charlie, dear.
Well, now, Rosie, I'm glad you agree with me. When the time comes, I'll put you off on the East Shore. You'll wait there for me while I attend to the Louisa.
Certainly not. You're the one to be put ashore.
Me?
This whole thing was my idea, wasn't it? I'm the logical one to carry it out.
Why, Rosie, I'm surprised at you. You're a very sensible woman, as a rule. Now, we won't have any more talk along those lines.
Now, look here, Charlie Allnut. I can manage this boat every bit as well as you can, and you know it.
Rosie, you're cracked.
Didn't I steer going down the rapids?
You steer well enough, but you don't know nothing about the engine. Suppose she broke down on you out there. Wouldn't you look foolish? Now, me, I'd just walk back from the tiller and do a thing or two to that old engine, you know. Spit on her, kick her in the slats, and she'd go right to work again. Oh, she knows who's boss, all right. You bet that old engine does.
I suppose you're right.
Well, now, that's all settled. I'll dive off a second before the crash and swim over to where you'll be waiting on the East Shore, and we'll be off to Kenya together.
No, I meant it may be necessary for you to come along.
Come along? What do you mean? Didn't we just agree this was a one-man job?
But you convinced me that it isn't. So now it's settled. We'll go together.
Oh, no, we won't. You'll wait for me on the East Shore.
Who do you think you are ordering me about?
I'm the captain, that's who. And I ain't taking you along. You'd only be in my way.
I suppose I was in your way going down the rapids. Then what you said to me back there on the river was a lie about how you never could have done it alone and how you'd lost your heart and everything. You liar. Oh, Charlie, we're having our first quarrel.
Oh, Rosie, it's only that I just can't bear the thought of... Well, what I mean is, suppose something should happen. Not that anything will, but...
Don't you understand, Charlie? I wouldn't want to go on to Kenya without you.
Oh, Rosie. All right. It'll be you at the tiller and me at the engine. Just like it was from the start. And there's the Louisa. Right on time.
He clasps a hand around Rosie's shoulder as a thick trail of black smoke appears in the distance. Rose puts her hand on his. Nighttime. Leaning over the side of the boat, Rose hands the detonating mechanism to Allnut, who's in the water. He fixes it to the end of the torpedo, then climbs back into the boat. They look up at the Union Jack, fluttering in the strong wind.
Blowing up a bit. Better get started. All right?
As Allnut heads towards the engine, Rose looks out at the distant lights of the Louisa. Allnut motors the boat out of the reeds, while Rose clambers over to the cockpit and controls the tiller. Two torpedoes protrude from the bow of the African Queen. Slowly, the boat makes its way out of the reeds, the Union Jack fluttering proudly from its mast. Heavy rain begins to fall, and the boat rocks from side to side as it's buffeted by the churning waves. In the distance, the Louisa is a cluster of lights against a deep blue sky.
Charlie! Charlie, I can't steer! here?
Too much water in the bows. Screws out of the water half the time. Gotta get a nose up or we'll be in trouble.
He runs to the bow. Rose struggles to keep control of the tiller. Allnut carries a heavy box away from the bow, lightening the weight. A wave crashes onto the boat and water sloshes around the furnace.
Rosie, we're sinking!
Water floods the furnace, putting out the fire. Allnut grabs hold of a lifesaver and brings it over to Rose. Suddenly, the African Queen keels over, turning on its side. Allnut and Rose cling to the side of the boat, the lifesaver around Rose, the Louisa's in the far distance. A huge wave crashes down on Rose and Allnut, and as the water clears, Rose has gone.
Your nationality? French? Belgian? British?
Yeah.
Yes, what?
British.
What were you doing on the island?
Fishing.
You are aware that the punishment for giving false testimony before this court is death by hanging?
Who cares?
What were you doing on the island?
I was fishing.
How did you get there?
I swam.
Do you know that you are in an area prohibited to all but members of the forces of His Imperial Majesty, Kaiser Wilhelm II?
Who cares?
You are accused of being a spy in the service of the British Armed Forces. Have you anything to say that might lead this court to believe otherwise?
I told you I was fishing.
Das ist das gesamte Beweismaterial der Anklage, Herr Kapitän.
Fahren Sie fort mit der Verteidigung.
Jawohl. Das Beweismaterial der Anklage war ungenügend. Wir haben nichts als Indizienbeweise gehört. Die Verteidigung kann da kaum etwas hinzufügen.
The court sentences you to death by hanging. Sentence to be carried out immediately.
Allnut looks stunned.
Herr Kapitän, wir haben noch einen aufgefunden. Eine Frau.
Three naval men are rowing a boat towards the ship. Rose is sitting at the prow.
Was there a woman with you?
Allnut's face floods with hope. He looks outside.
Rosie!
Up here!
Rosie! Rosie! Rosie!
Charlie!
Rosie!
Charlie!
Bringen Sie die Frau rein.
Jawohl.
Who's that woman?
I don't know.
You just called her by name.
I thought she was somebody else.
I should hang you twice, I think.
Rose comes in and kneels down beside Allnut, her face full of adoration. The lifesaver, bearing the name African Queen.
Who are you?
Miss Rose Sayre.
English?
Of course.
Abtreten.
Jawohl.
What were you doing on the lake?
He told him nothing, Rosie.
Silence!
The captain sits behind his desk.
What were you doing on the lake?
We were boating.
Last night in such weather?
We were not responsible for the weather.
As your fellow prisoner has already learned, the penalty for not answering this court is death.
You mean he... Charlie, stop that.
Order.
Are they going to hang you, Charlie?
Fräulein Sayre, you will come to order and answer the question of this court.
Very well, ask your questions.
What were you doing on the lake?
We came here to sink this ship.
Rosie.
And we would have too, except that I'd at least have the pleasure of telling them about it, Charlie.
Sink this ship?
Would you believe her, Your Honor? She's touched, you know, fever.
Stop that, Charlie. We've been through all that. I'm certainly not going to outlive you, and that's all there is to it.
And just how, Fräulein, did you propose to sink the Königin Luise?
With torpedoes.
Torpedoes?
Nein.
Will you be so good as to tell us exactly where and how you acquired torpedoes?
Mr. Allnut made them.
How very interesting.
You don't believe me, do you? Charlie, tell them how you made the torpedoes.
Well, see what I did? I took the heads off two cylinders of oxygen, and I filled them up with live explosive, you know, about 200 weight. That was easy enough. It was the detonators that took some doing. And you know what I used? Cartridges and nails and blocks of soft wood. Then I took the two cylinders and I put them in the bows of the African Queen, right down near the waterline. So when we rammed you, poof!
And where is the African Queen?
She sank in the storm.
But how did you get onto the lake?
We came down the Ulanga. The Bora, you call it down here.
That's impossible.
Nevertheless.
But everyone knows the river's unnavigable.
That may be. We came down it, though, didn't we, Charlie? And in the African Queen.
Out in the water, the capsized African Queen floats with one of its torpedoes pointing to the sky. In the distance, the Louisa cruises across the water, heading straight towards the partially submerged boat. On the Louisa, Allnut and Rose are escorted onto the deck, where a sailor is readying two nooses hanging from the mast. The first officer gestures towards the executioner.
To ask the man.
Would you hang us together, please?
No.
Oh, wait a minute. Hey, Captain.
Yes?
Will you grant us a last request?
What is it?
Marry us.
Us?
We want to get married. Ship captains can do that, can't they?
Yeah.
Why, Charlie, what a lovely idea.
What kind of craziness is this?
Oh, come on, Captain. It'll only take a minute. And it'll mean such a lot to the lady.
Very well, if you wish it absolutely.
Allnut takes Rose's hand, and they look into each other's eyes.
What are the names again?
Charles.
Rosie. Rose.
Do you, Charles, take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?
Yes, sir.
Do you, Rose, take this man to be your lawful wedded husband?
I do.
Some distance away, the African Queen waits as the Louisa chugs on.
By the authority vested in me by Kaiser William II, I pronounce you man and wife. Proceed with the execution.
Allnut and Rose kiss. The nooses have been placed around Rose and Allnut's necks.
Alle Mann an Deck zur Hinrichtung beizuholen.
In Ordnung.
Los.
Hände fesseln! Seid straff!
Their hands are tied behind their backs. Black smoke billows onto the deck as an explosion rips through the ship. Allnut takes the noose off Rose and holds her tightly as the ship begins to keel over. The crew run frantically from the lower decks and jump overboard. As the ship capsizes, some of the crewmen desperately cling to the hull. The captain emerges from the water, his first officer giving him a feeble salute. In the distance, Allnut and Rose are treading water, surrounded by debris.
Hey, what happened?
We did it, Charlie! We did it!
But how?
Rose finds a piece of wood bearing the name African Queen.
Well, what do you think? You all right, Mrs. Allnut?
Wonderful, simply wonderful. And you, Mr. Allnut?
Pretty good, for an old married man.
I'm all twisted around, Charlie. Which way is the east shore?
The way we're swimming, old girl. There was a bold fisherman set sail from up in the cove to catch the bold piggy and the gay mackerel. But when he got off in the cove, the wine did begin to blow.